Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Greg and Stephanie Schlieder, the founders of Mass Impact. And you can find out the information about it at ilovemyfamily.us. Welcome back, you guys.
Thank you. So you get to actually proclaim it when you state that. That's the beauty of that site. You're giving them information, but you're proclaiming it.
What a great thing to say. I love my family.
Words have power.
Let's, it's great to say. We love the whole idea of family. We love God's plan for family.
Amen.
We love it. You're
There's
right?
no other
and,
plan.
And we love marriage and children and all of
Bring
that.
It on.
Thanks be to God. So all of you out there who are listening today, moms, maybe you're just getting your kids ready for school. Or you're in the car. You got a full car. Kids going to school. Or dad, whatever you're listening, and you're feeling it some days like, wow, this is hard. This is challenging. You know, what happened to my life?
That's when it matters.
It's God's way. It's God's way. And we're proud of you, and we want to stand with you, and we say, God bless you, and don't be afraid.
Yes, yes,
don't be afraid to live the King's mission. It's the Father's plan for us. So anyway, it's a good lead-in to what we want to talk about today. We talked about your personal journey the last couple of days. And friends, if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. It's all there. Or go to the app, renewalministries.net. You can listen to it whenever it's convenient. Let's talk about the mission you've been called to, and you are so effective in the Lord at helping strengthen family life. Where did that come from, and what are you doing? Tell our listeners about what it's about.
We got to begin with a foundational story, Steph. Tell the grace story.
Okay.
Sets everything up.
So, but before that, because I can do that, I love how you've described in the past, Greg, what having children means to us, not just as gifts, but when we got married, you would say.
So when we got married, we declared, my time is not my own. My money is not my own. My resources are not my own. That's what we're declaring before God. And there's a joy and a delight in that. And I decrease that he may increase. So we're declaring, none of this is my own. And with each child, it's just a punctuation mark at the end of that sentence. My time, my money, my sleep is really, really not my own. And again, the heart of it is discovering the joy and the delight that as we decrease, we open the capacity for him to increase.
So one of the greatest privileges, if you will, that we have found as parents, and at risk of sounding cliche, is the great beauty of introducing a child to God and all that that means. I had mentioned on an earlier show of being a teacher in the classroom, and I remember the very first day standing in front of my students, and I always pictured myself with the littler kids, and all the job openings were with the bigger kids in junior high, and they're very similar needs.
Oh.
But just like overwhelmed with, wow, like Lord, you've entrusted these souls to me to help parents form and to draw them close to you. Well, put an exponent with a gazillion zeros on that as we hold a little precious child, an eternal soul.
Even the moment that we discovered that we were pregnant, and we encourage those of you out there, the power of literally praying over the womb, husband, wife, together, if you can do that together and discover, which we did, it was one of the most sacred things to know, okay, I'm going to get a pregnancy test, together, husband and wife, and then the delight, tears usually for me, and praying for the power of the Holy Spirit over my wife, over my child. And, you know, if God's given you the gift of tongues, let it go. I mean, let the Holy Spirit flood you and move through you. It begins then in that formation of the child.
And even along with that laying hands, I remember so many times, even with our oldest, praying that the Lord would surround her, we didn't know, with good holy friends. You know, just all those things matter in that moment. So back to the introduction to God, one of my favorite stories of all of our kids' stories is when our little guy, our youngest son, Dominic, was just a toddler, and Erie, Pennsylvania gets a ton of snow and then some. And so it would have been the first big snowfall that he would have seen to be able to articulate with words a reaction. Mm-hmm. So he came out of his bedroom that very cold morning to see inches and inches of snow. And he looked up at me and he said, Mom, look what Daddy did. Because all good things come from the Father, right? And so as cute as it was, it made me stop and think, wow, like this is a beautiful moment of encounter with the Father or some experience of a foundational relationship with God the Father. And then, of course, in my pride, I needed to say, well, what does Mommy do? And he thought, and he said, she makes supper And she prays.
Two very important things.
So food of the body and soul. Yeah. So that, I think, has just really been something at the forefront of our marriage and parenting is, yes, we're called first and foremost to help each other, you know, to heaven and grow in holiness, and then also to bring our children along with that. And it's more than words. And so story number two.
1 second, just to pronounce to Steph that we are icons and instruments, fathers, you men out there, whether we like it or not, we are icons and instruments of the Father in heaven. Number two, we will never live up to it, ever. As Dominic Goldoler, he discovered that this dad is very flawed, and to realize that we need to navigate that with him. It's not ultimately between us and these children. It's orienting them towards that Father in heaven. And a lot of times, as we'll discuss perhaps later, the most powerful thing we do is to apologize, is to acknowledge our shortcomings, and to ask them to pray for us even. And every time that there's a moral challenge or a crisis with them, to state, you know, it really isn't between you and me. I am under this Father in heaven also as a son of God, and I strive also, and I fall short. Together, let's seek that grace because it is a perfect plan. Again, that revelation that God equips us to respond to.
That's a really good point, actually, the idea of, as a father, you know, when you're speaking to your kids who've done something wrong, mm-hmm. or they run into, you know, that was a problem, which that happens with everybody, happens in life, right? And you're communicating to them, son, I'm calling you to repent, to repair this, and this is what God wants us to do, and I have to do the same thing.
Right.
You know, all of us are under the same Lord. Mm. All of us are living, as St. Paul says, we make it our aim to please the Lord. Right. And to say, you know, we're all going to do things, kids, at times that don't please the Lord. Mm. It doesn't surprise me, because I do the same thing. We're in this together. But what we're all doing is we're running after the same Lord, because we know He's the way for happiness and life, and He's got a plan for us. He wants us to live in together. And so it makes it so much easier, I think, as you raise, especially as kids get in their junior high years and high school years, to be able to see the value of it and be able to surrender to it if you're living in it with them and you're kind of leading.
Right.
And so that means at times sitting down with them and say, I need to talk to you. I need to ask your forgiveness, son, for the way I spoke to you today, or what, you know, something like that. But go ahead. Yeah.
And just a punctuation note, read Gary Smalley's book, The Blessing, and particularly for men, how embedded in our understanding of things, whether you're Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, atheist, history bears the truth of the power that a father has, in particular in the lives of their children. The stats, real simple. If the mom's involved and the dad's absent, 2% chance your kids are going to continue in the faith. 2%. Mom's in completely, dad's out of the picture. Shift that around. The dad is fully in the game, mom isn't even in the picture. It raises from 65 to 75% chance your kids are going to continue in their faith. That's not a Christian statistic. That's just sociology. There's something embedded in our human nature to take that. And men, you know, again, just to reiterate Peter, just the value of us being aware of that fatherly presence. Bob Schutt's book, Be Healed, another really good book where he shares his testimonial as a child and the transformation that took place in his life, and the power of the fatherly role in our lives. Whether we've had good fathers or bad fathers, and most of us is somewhere in between, God wants to work through that still.
And He works through example, as this story illustrates. So we were blessed with 6 children in 7 years, so all very close together, which meant 3 in diapers at the same time, which meant a lot of pretty smelly garbage. The Greg would joke that
Chernobyl diaper.
That our garbage men drew straws, who had to pick up the Schlitter garbage, you know, because of that. So there was one time we were just starting potty training with our daughter Grace. She was about 3 years old, and she had a very evident, just not so good, horrible
DEFCON 1
diaper. And so I said, Greg, do you want to change Grace, or we're out of milk? Do you want to run to the store around
is
the corner?
Is that really even a question?
Right?
Change Grace's diaper or get milk? Really.
So Greg quickly grabs the keys and departs, and I'm laying Grace down and changing her diaper, but with a little bit of impatience and just frustration, like, Grace, come on, you know, you're old enough, and kind of going through that little pep talk. And to which she's smiling, and she says, I know, I know. And she's kind of giggly. She goes, I smell like bloody heck, but she didn't say heck.
Yeah.
And I just looked at her, and then she said, holy 4-letter word. And my jaw dropped, and I just like looked at her, and she's smiling. She goes, go ahead, mom, say it. Dad does.
Her little impish grin.
Dad does, yeah.
so, So I come in the door at that point, and I see the look on my wife's face. It's like one of those.
She throws the diaper at you.
Well, yeah, that would have been bad. But one of those everybody loves Raymond moments where so much is communicated with nothing said. I'm like, I'm searching my memory bank. What did I do? What did I say? What was discovered while I was gone?
Yeah.
And she tells me this story, of course, of my beautiful little angel. But that punctuates really, number one, that we in this journey are, if you will, working out our mess, without which we wouldn't need the Messiah. Whoever is listening right now, that's a key point. We're in the midst of a mess without which we wouldn't need a Messiah. Point two, that there's really nothing we can say or do. No religious program, no retreat, no anything that surpasses who we are as parents. Our kids will gravitate to the authenticity of my love for Jesus Christ and them getting that. So a practical, for instance, insight is at some point going to Mass. It had to be less of them expecting them as we did. We expected them to observe proper posture as they're able to and all that. But at some point, it was less observant. Are they observing us and giving the witness to them of a heart that loves God? Mm-hmm. And let them see that heart that loves God in the proper posture. There's a little bit of a dance there sometimes with little ones. That's kind of a key idea. Our integrity, the way we speak. All of those things pronounce the validity of what is revealed to be true. They're asking with their souls as they look at us, do mom and dad really believe this? Do they really own this? Do we do more than just kind of formal prayers, but like my dad gave me witness, as I shared in the first episode here? You know, do they give witness that God is relational and he's personal? Do they pray over us? You know, with that sense of confidence that he is present. And even when there's sickness or brokenness, do we have the audacity, and I have to call it that, mm-hmm. certainly take him to the hospital, and we had some moments, but do we legitimately take the time and ask for the Holy Spirit, as is revealed in Scripture? Signs will accompany them. Do we give witness that God is present, he is powerful, and that we're going to see some amazing things happen if we trust in him?
I think one of the most important things for us as dads, and now as a grandpa, I'm a grandpa.
Yay, that's so awesome.
Yeah, it's great. To remember is that you touched on is authenticity, not perfection. You know, you don't have to be perfect. Right. You don't have to hide your human weakness and your difficulties, but you need to live authentically with God and God's love, in God's mercy, and to be able to receive it and to share it. And I think when C.S. Lewis used to talk about, you know, Christianity, when it's living, it's like spreading a good infection, you know?
Right.
And that's kind of what you're talking about, Greg, isn't it? You're living as something that's so important to you. It's so deep and it's so authentic. If dad's heart's kind of checked out and on all that, but he's got a duty to make sure you be quiet in church, you get in the van, you get to church, you be quiet in church, but he looks otherwise disconnected from the whole thing, that's why it doesn't get passed on. You don't have to say a word. A kid will smell it, feel it, he'll intuit it. That's not the love of my dad's heart. He won't be able to put words on it. But what you love will have a big, big impact on your children, you know?
So, and it has. Those three W's, again, the what generation, just do it, right? And then the why generation was, you know, let me understand this apologetically or ethically. Very important, but it is the weaving into that, the who, and truly, you know, do we know Jesus Christ? And for many of us, it's just being honest. Yeah. Have we really had that encounter? Because if we're not evangelizing naturally, it's likely that we ourselves have not encountered Christ. And that's a key question for all of us to ask. And it's an ever deeper thing. It's not a once-time thing. Are we truly aware and open to God's grace in that relationship with him?
Yeah, amen. It's a good place to end the program. We've got a lot more to talk about tomorrow. I want to get concretely into the nature of the ministry that you're doing. I want you to tell all our friends and listeners about it. Friends, if you enjoyed the program, I'd call some friends and have them tune in tomorrow to listen to us as well. So God bless you. Have a wonderful day and know that God has a great plan for you in your marriage and in your family. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.